How many of you that was like a stretch than what you're used to? Okay, because here's why. Because we're used to bottling it up and keeping it in. And so when we step out in that place, that's where you find out who you really are. That's where the rubber hits the road. And guess what? I would encourage you to do this as exercises. Just do this, man. I mean, before school starts and stuff, when you guys are here, just say, hey, listen, I want to try that again. I want to try that again because practice makes perfect. I remember the first time Bob Hazlett is the guy that we do the Power and Love conferences with. He came and he was sharing about prophecy. He was sharing about prophecy and I didn't understand all that. I'd been doing it in bits and pieces, but not really understood, like totally. And he said, you know, go do that, put your hand on your shoulder exercise. And I remember like the first time I did that, I think it was, well, I don't remember where it was. It was in one of them places. Because we go everywhere, that it was one of the places that we went. And I stood in front of this man. Actually, I think it was Westchester. The last time, not this time, but the last time we were there. Like a year and a half ago. And a year ago. And I put my hand, or the guy put his hand on me. And the first thing I saw, actually I went up there. And I saw a fruit basket with fruit in it. Before he put his hand on my shoulder. It was so weird. So I had a preconceived idea of what I was going to share, even though he said, wait till they put their hand on your shoulder to get the picture. And I thought like, well, I already have an idea. I'm just going to go with this, but that's not what he said. So it was like, I'm all ready to prophesy about fruit. I'm like, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. And immediately when he put his hand on my shoulder, bang, the picture changed immediately. And I saw somebody in a jet doing barrel rolls. And it just like freaked me out. Because I'm not a picture person. But like, I was going up there to do exercise, and before he put his hand on my shoulder, I'm like, yeah, fruit. And as soon as he touched me, it went and switched immediately. And I was like, that's crazy. Man, I wanted to share about fruit. But like, for some reason, I see a pilot, and I see you doing barrel rolls, and you're going up really high, and then all of a sudden you're looping around and going upside down and coming back around, and it was crazy. I was like, this is nuts. Like, I actually see a handle with three buttons on it in the jet, and I'm like, I don't even know what this is, man, but it's awesome. And they go, open your eyes, and I just shared about that for like 3 minutes, I think the exercise was. Not a minute and a half, but 3 minutes. And I was like, wow, that was totally cool. And he looks at me and he goes, I work for NASA. I'm actually a pilot. I come from a whole line of pilots, and that's what I do. And it freaked me out. Like God sucker punched me. You think you got it planned out? Well, check this out. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And that day, I went out to the mall. And because we went out for the outreach, and we're taking people on outreach, and I'm standing in front of I talk to people all the time, and I'm standing in front of a kiosk, and there's a guy that's, I think he's like, there's these fragrant pillows where they heat them up, and it smells like eucalyptus or whatever, and I saw this kid, and I said, hey man, how you doing? And he's like, good. And I'm walking with some people that have never really stepped out, and I'm pretty bold in approaching people because I know that God loves me. And boldness comes from that place right there. Boldness comes from not being ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation for those, you know, it actually says that those that believe, right? But you can believe enough that Jesus is real and that Jesus wants to flow through you, but not be bold because you haven't received the love of God. So I'm understanding that, and I'm like, hey man, I said, I see you're working here. I said, but you going to school? He said, yeah, I'm going to school. I said, man, it's so weird, but when I walked up to you, I got a picture of you standing or sitting behind glass. And I said, and you're at a soundboard, and you're mixing levels, and you're actually recording music. I said, I just saw the glass real quick, just a real quick picture. Right? And I'm closing my eyes and I'm sharing this with him because I can picture it easier. Because because it's hard for me to picture when my eyes open sometimes. I don't know. But it was then, and it's getting better now. But it's kind of neat because he goes, you know what, man? He goes, this is totally whacked. I think he started cussing a little bit because it freaked him out. And he said, but I'm in school to get my engineering degree in recording. That's what I'm going to school for. I'm going to be a recording. That's what I'm going to do. I want to have my own studio. And he was an atheist, man. He did not believe anything. So what happens is when you step into this place, it unlocks their heart. Because you can have somebody that's completely hard in front of you and completely angry in front of you, and then all of a sudden you start to share who they really are, and there's no way they can get out of that. I have watched the lives of thousands of people get completely bomb blasted with this thing right here. Just in a year. This is amazing, guys. It's all about healing, right? I mean, it's all about healing. But prophecy is healing the heart too. Prophesying over somebody is bringing them back to, wait a minute, there's a God that really loves me. He actually knows about me. I mean, how can you know that, man? What are you? And what you'll hear is, what are you, psychic? Because I hear that all the time. Like, I'll hear that on planes. I'll hear that, I'll be on a plane. I was just on a plane just a couple weeks ago, and we were coming back from Switzerland. So we have, like, long trip, dude, you know? And the airline attendants are on there, and I walked in the back and just to use the bathroom, and it's a big plane, so there's like a bunch of airline attendants on the plane. And I tried to focus on them because they're servants and they're hurting, a lot of them are, and they're constantly. So I shared with her what I saw about her heart, the one lady, and she's got two other ladies around her, and she's like, what are you, psychic? That's the first response, because the church has kind of dropped the ball on this thing. I mean, it's coming back, but a lot of times people are going to look at you and say, what are you, a psychic? Like, they'll put you in the other. And don't be offended by that. Don't be weirded out by that. And don't say, no, I'm not a psychic. You'll ruin a testimony in a heartbeat. So you want to be really careful with that one, because they're going to say that. They're going to say, what are you, psychic? You know, you're going to actually have people, when you start to do this more, they're going to come up to you and they're going to say, do you have a word about me? Or somebody in public that has heard about you will come up to you, because they've come up to me at Walmart, an employee, and said, can you tell me my future? Because you're a fortune teller in their eyes. But just because they think you're a fortune teller doesn't mean that you are. I believe that fortune tellers, I believe that psychics are misplaced prophets. I believe that they're prophetic. They've received a gift and calling from God. The gifts and callings from God are without repentance. Okay? I believe that a lot of times they're squeezed outside of the church because they're not comfortable with that thing moving. They think it's from the devil. And because a pastor hasn't moved in that, they have to quench somebody else, because that is a very big challenge, and they might just have been taught that it is of the devil. But a lot of times, because of, we say the Jezebel spirit and this and that, but a lot of times to keep our place in ministry, we have to quench other people to make us feel better and to look better, right? And I'm not beating up pastors, but I'm telling you that we have to be in a place where we have to know who we are. They're going to come to you. They're going to say, hey, what is going on with your life? What's the deal? And you always point it to Jesus, right? We know that.
I was wondering if you had a comment on, for those of us who are used to, we're used to thinking creative and that sort of thing. Sometimes we're not sure, it seems like we jump start this thing or okay with it, with thinking creatively, and all of a sudden we're in some kind of flow. Okay, but what would you say to those of us who are not used to thinking creatively? My mind is just dead, but I'm brain dead, it seems. It's like, so now I'm gonna, you know, how do I, for those of us who don't think creatively and like, okay, prophesy. I just got a huge cranial air bubble. You know, I got nothing. You know, so I mean, what can be used?
Well, what is prophecy? Let's start with that. What is prophecy?
speaking to the Lord, what the Lord's thoughts for someone are, or?
Okay. All right. All prophecy is used for edification and encouragement. So in the old prophecy, you prophesied, if you did it wrong, you died. In the Old Testament. In the New Testament, everybody gets to prophesy. Okay. If you don't have a word that tells about their future, do you care about the person in front of you? Okay. Can you give them an encouraging word?
If I'm creative, I can mess something up, you know, but if I'm not, I'm lost.
Now watch. If I were to tell you, I think you did pretty well today.
Oh, I'm not having a problem with it. I'm just trying to
think. No. Okay. Who here's having a problem with it?
I had a little bit of a block, it felt like.
Okay, a little bit of a block. And what do you feel the block is? Because we're gonna root out block today. We're gonna crush block today. Because the lack of being able to encourage is the lack of knowing the love of God. And it's the depth of the love of God that will enable you to become love. Okay, so we're gonna get some stuff. We're gonna rock and roll with some stuff today. But I'm gonna pound this thing, which will open it up bigger for you. All right, not just teach on prophecy, but share where it even comes from.
Let's do it again.
We're not gonna do it till we're done.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, we're gonna do it again. But it's just gonna unlock you. It'll unleash the beast from within, the Holy Ghost beast that's in you.
I was fighting over him, and I called him a woman. I saw a picture of a woman, and I'm like, but I could feel that his spirit was really big. I was like, your spirit is huge, but I was still calling him a woman.
That's okay. Were you offended?
No, he wasn't.
Jesus. Okay. Okay, so cool. So you missed it.
Yeah.
All right. Do you love him?
Yeah.
Okay. Love never fails, so you can't miss it. Okay. Here's the deal. What are attributes about a woman that makes a woman that would be Christ-like?
Tenderness.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Tenderness.
Okay. Good job. Yeah. You have to think like this, guys. Because what this is making you, listen, what this is making you is quick on your feet. Okay? And the more you practice, the quicker you get on your feet. The less you practice, the more you keep it inside like a lake. The more you practice, the more you're just quicker on your feet. And all of a sudden you're like, bang, bang, bang. And the more you use it, the more it grows. Holy Spirit multiplies as you use. It's kind of like the bread, the five loaves. The more you give it away, the more it multiplies. You have to get this. See, Jesus didn't multiply the loaves. Jesus handed the loaves to his disciples and it multiplied in their hands. Are you hearing me? He gave thanks to God and then gave the loaves to his disciples. The loaves multiplied in the disciples' hands as they gave it away. And then they were in the boat and they thought, what? We don't have any bread. He said, beware of the leaven. And he said, and they thought to themselves, we don't have any bread. And they just came from two different miracles of the multiplication of the loaf in which it happened in their hands. Are you with me? And they missed it. How many loaves did we start with? Jesus said. Suppose I was talking about bread. How many loaves did we start with?
Five.
What about the other one? How many loaves did we start with? How many loaves did we end up with? How many baskets did we end up with when we left? So focusing on what you don't have and out of lack doesn't help you. But seeing what God did and remembering the testimony is imperative in your life. See, the last time you prophesy and get it right, if you're in front of somebody and you're prophesying, you can think back to the last time that you got it right, and it actually is a key in your life to actually reach back in that God gave you for a room, all you have to do is use the key, go back in, and it's yours again. If you pray for somebody and someone's shoulder's healed, and you're in front of somebody and their shoulder's hurting, you have a key in your arsenal to see that shoulder healed, because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Meaning, did Jesus do it through you, or did you do it? Okay, so if it happened once, it happened again. It'll happen again. Amen. We've got to set up those places in our life, because they're like memory stones, like the children of Israel would set up. They set up memory stones. They set up these stones, and every time they passed it, they'd remind their kids of what happened there. It says, think upon, meditate, think upon the testimonies all the time. Don't forget the testimonies. Don't forget this stuff. Come on, in Psalm 78, it says that. It says that the children of Ephraim, they actually turned back in battle. Why? Because they forgot the marvelous works of the Lord. So because they got their eyes off of what God had done, they forgot and they looked at their enemy, and their enemy was bigger. Do you understand? So if we keep our eyes fixed on the thing in front of us and forget what God's been doing through us, you will build an arsenal this way. And you'll always have a reservoir of God-like stuff that's happening through your life that you can reach back in. Yeah. I'm telling you this for future benefit. Okay? As far as not knowing what to say to somebody when you're in front of them. Prophecy is used for edification, encouragement. No prophecy is supposed to come out of your mouth but edifying, encouraging, and building up the person in front of you. That's New Testament prophecy. That's the Pauline covenant, or so to speak. Pauline prophecy. Prophecy from this end is to build up. Paul said, look, I desire that you all prophesy. So all of us have prophecy in us. And all it is building up the person in front of you, pointing out the good things in the person in front of you, not tearing them down, but building them up. So even if it's just, I just want to tell, listen, if I tell somebody that God thinks that they're absolutely amazing, you're 100% dead on every time. If I tell somebody that, look, I just want to tell you that God thinks you're wonderful. He thinks you're amazing. You're absolutely incredible. Why? That's what it'll happen. It'll open up a door. Well, Or what I hear, like let's say I'm going through, because I wanted to use practical application, and then I'm gonna talk about righteousness. I'm gonna talk about some right standing stuff with God that will take out stumbling blocks that the enemy has put in here, because we think we have to have it all figured out with our mind before we can speak from our heart. When really, when our mind gets renewed and this thing gets cleared out, what happens is we start to speak out of our heart anyway. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are you with me? Yes? Am I confusing you? Are you okay? Well, this is why we're here. We're here to become love. That's the reason why you're in here. We're going to pound that and pound that and pound that and pound that and pound that. Become love. But unless you receive the love of God, it's hard to become love. Because you think you're unlovable, which is weird. I would be the most unlovable person in here if that was a fact. Satan is the only unlovable one, and you're not his. That's right. Go ahead.
Is prophecy that we see the future, or that we're calling forth the future?
Well, prophecy is calling into today what could have been reserved for another day by the hunger of your heart. And prophecy is actually, maybe you might see something that that's going to happen, but be very careful about that one, because I've seen people get that twisted and say, I see a car crash and you're going to make it, but other people aren't. And just, that's whacked. Get that out of you. Okay. You don't need to, you can actually prophesy and change the reality of their life. So you can pull into today what was reserved for another, but prophecy is speaking into someone's life something that's not, as though it is. So you can actually see something for them only if it comes. Make this your grounds for prophecy. Make sure that the grounds for prophecy are set up on this foundation. Edification, encouragement, or building people up. So prophecy, I've seen it a dangerous thing where prophecy is tore people down. Like we've done this exercise in Power and Love that I've been a part of, and I've had someone come up to me crying and say, yeah, that man of God just told me that there's a bad moon rising in my life. And well, it's weird because the devil can speak too. But we don't partner with him. Jesus said, my sheep hear and obey my voice, and as strangers they will not follow. So as strangers, they're not going to follow. So if you're not getting edification, encouragement, and building people up, you want to be very careful about the stranger's voice. So if you let that be your guidelines, you're always going to listen. Even if you miss it and you tell somebody that you can't miss it. But people are like, well, I didn't get it right on. Listen, did you encourage somebody? Did you build somebody up? Did you bring them closer to the Father? That's awesome. That's totally, totally great. You did a great job. So you can't look at yourself and say, oh, I don't want to miss it. If you're a perfectionist, the hardest place I see for this and or for people to get to is past their perfectionism. If you're not willing to fail for God, you cannot get this thing on with God. If you're not willing to be made a fool and look like a fool, you can't get this thing on. I asked my daughter, you can ask her, how many times have we been in situations to where the people, like my daughter, can listen and hear the people saying mean things about her dad. And then you ask her how many times that moved her dad. Let me give you an example. Are you all right? Are we okay? This is important because you're a prophesying machine. You really are. God created you for this. He created you. He wants to flow through you. Man, you're to be a conduit. Not just for miracles and healing. That's part of it. Sonship is going to be established inside of this class that we're in. Because that's our focus, man, is to establish sonship. Is to establish the love of God in your life that's so profuse that, like, it doesn't matter who's against you because God's for you. Who really cares who's against you? Because God's for you. If he's greater and he's in you, what does it matter what people think or what people say? There's no place. Remember when I said there's no place for carnal Christianity? I'm just going to say it, and I need you to receive this with an open heart. I believe the level of timidity in the body of Christ is in equal proportion to the level of carnality in a person's life. But carnality, the level of timidity or being timid and shy is in equal proportion. I'm not telling you you're not a Christian, but I'm telling you when carnality is cut out of you, the level of timidity in someone's life is in equal proportion to the level of carnality in someone's life. That's not a cut on you or a devastating blow to you. That's showing you what needs to move. Because if we have in mind the things of God, The mind of the things of man is cut out, because to say I'm only human is to say I'm only demonic. We already went over that, right? Did we not? Did I not go over that at all with you guys the other day when I was here talking about the carnal mind? Okay, we'll go over it. Go ahead.
So, of course, the carnality of worldliness and Christian is in direct opposition to authority.
Well, absolutely, but the authority of the King in you, which is the God of love. Okay. I thought I hit that. Let's go to Matthew 16. You guys all right? Please understand that anything that I share is not to tear you down. I wouldn't bring something up unless we're going to rip it out. So I'm not here to like, I'm not here to say, you carnal Christian, how dare you? I'm here to tell you that the carnal mind is at war against God. And the only place, see, our mind has been cultivated by the enemy, man. So the only stumbling block, the only problem is between our ears. Look, when Jesus went into the River Jordan and got baptized, when he came out of the River Jordan, what happened to the heavens?
They opened and they never shut.
Okay, they never closed again. The heavens never closed again. So you don't have to pray for an open heaven. You need to be an open heaven. We don't perish for a lack of open heaven. We perish for a lack of knowledge. And knowledge, not hearing it, but hearing it and doing it and experiencing the truth. You don't know the truth and the truth set you free by memorizing scripture. You know the truth by walking out the truth, and that's what sets you free. Go ahead, Consuela.
I just want to know what the have been. I keep hearing heavens. I've never studied it out to know there's different levels of heavens.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole nother subject. But, I would tell you that the way that I've understood it is that on the earth is the first heaven. I would tell you that the principalities, they can't go past the second heaven, which would be the air. And then above where God is would be the third heaven. And the only reason that I would understand that is because Paul said that he went to the third heaven. And that's the revelation of that. The third heaven. Okay, so third, second, and first. And I would tell you that the earth would be the first heaven.
So space would be the second heaven.
I thought, yeah.
No. As far as the air, this is all I know. Okay. I would tell you that as far as we can see, and I don't even go into outer space. They're saying it out because we don't want to think too much on this because your brain tries to get engaged and we try to figure it all out. And then once we go on a trip of trying to figure all the space out, if I tell you that the universe is expanding at 186,000 miles per second in every direction right now, there's no way for you to grab that with your mind. So I'll have you thinking away from where I need to teach you right now and what I need to share, and you'll be off in space somewhere instead of focused on what? And that's a good question, Consuela, but if I answer that right now, I'm going to go way off on a rabbit trail that I won't be able to focus on this. Are you okay with that? You guys all right? No, it's cool. Look,
that gives us access to the demonic realm, and I guess then we have authority to...
Right. No, it's cool. When Jesus said, set your mind on things above, when Jesus said that you're seated with him in heavenly places, right? That you're dead and actually your life, you're hidden in him and in him. When it says that we're seated with him in heavenly places, if we think about being seated with Jesus, where's Jesus? Seated at the right hand. And Jesus said, set your mind on things above and not on things beneath, right? So our mind is supposed to be in the throne room. And our feet are supposed to be here, but the highest part of hell is beneath the lowest part of us because we're the body. And it's a whole lot to try to figure out, but this, I'm a scripture guy, but I'm a live from this point. Like when we pray for heaven, like when we pray for God's will, for his kingdom to come, for his will to be done on earth, the same as it is in heaven. You have to picture heaven where God would be, in the third heaven where God would be. Is there any sickness? Is there any disease? Is there any discouragement? No. So we're going to usher in that, but we have to have our mind on things above to pray from heaven towards earth. So prophetic stuff comes from that place right there. What does God think about that person in front of you? Yes. So we're gonna pray from there. When Jesus was in John 3:13, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and he said, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who has descended, that is me, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. So Jesus is saying, no one's gone up, but he that's come down, that's me, and I'm in heaven right now. And he's walking and talking to Nicodemus. So he's right in front of him, yet he's saying, I'm here. So he's giving us an understanding of where we're going to pray from, where we're going to live from. So having our mind on things above and not on things beneath, we need to have our mind be so heavenly minded that we're earthly amazing. So we're thinking from that perspective towards this one. Yes? But there are things that keep you from approaching the throne of grace in time of need. And there is never a time when you don't need Him. You constantly need Him. So you can live in the throne room if stuff is completely rooted out so that you don't have anything that stands between you and Him. Does that make sense? Because we can't have anything where this enables you to walk with a pure heart. Because those that walk with a pure heart will see God, right? But you need to constantly see God everywhere you go all the time. To repent means to relook at things from heaven's perspective. Repent. Relook at things from the penthouse or the top floor. So you're reevaluating a situation from the penthouse or from the top floor. Repent, for the kingdom's at hand. Repent means relook at things from heaven's perspective. Jesus brought His world with Him. It was in the kingdom. The kingdom's not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And if I say the kingdom's not here or there, the kingdom is within you, that's the word of God. So the kingdom is within you. Meaning you're going to relook at things from heaven's perspective, realize that you have the kingdom of God in, upon, and around you. It's within your reach, but you've got to change the way you think. So that you don't think what you see in the natural is superior to the world that Jesus brought with Him. Are you with me? That's a whole lot. Alright. Okay. So prophecy is used for edification and encouragement, providing grace to those that hear you. I talked about like Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but only that which is used for edification and encouragement, right? Along the lines of the prophetic, along the lines of your whole life. Criticism, complaining, and gossip is the language of hell. Don't do it. You're partnering with the devil. And that's not okay. Just don't. It'll mess up everything. Because then all of a sudden you've partnered with the wrong God. And you don't want to do that. Gossip. Complaining, criticizing. It's the devil. Be very careful. That's his language. Yes? You should write that down. Gossip, criticism, complaining. Language of hell equals language of hell. Edification, encouragement, being a steward of grace, language of heaven. Yes? Okay. I took you to Matthew 16, right?
Yes.
Wow, this is kind of cool. Oh, I have a whole lot. Jesus. Matthew 16. Wow, I didn't even realize this because I wanted to go somewhere else. But since this is in here, I'll just cap it here real quick. In Matthew 16:5, it's saying, now when the disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. And Jesus, being aware of it, noticed that they reasoned to themselves. Jesus was aware of what they were reasoning. They were thinking. Their minds were thinking naturally instead of what Jesus said. Leaven of the Pharisees doesn't even say, be careful of the bread of the Pharisees. Be careful of the bread of the Sadducees. There's not even talking about that. But Jesus is like, okay, like say I was talking about bread. He says, oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? And I think it's in Mark 8. Keep your finger in Matthew 16 because we're going to go back there. Mark 8. And then verse 13, it says, and he left them, getting it. This is talking about the testimony, remembering the testimony. Remember what God did to you so you can reach back and grab from that arsenal. It's the same thing I kind of started with, so I'm just sealing that up, okay? And it says, and he left them in verse 13, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Now, keep in mind that they'd already multiplied the bread twice. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, don't you see? Having ears, don't you hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said 12. And when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said 7. So he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? Miracles are personal experiences that require you to see different. Prophecy is a personal experience that requires you to see different about somebody. Each time you prophesy, each time you pray for the sick, each time a miracle flows through your hands, each time a healing flows through your hands, you're responsible to make sure that you take that in so that you can remember that. You can remember what you saw, remember what you heard, and at least remember. He said, having eyes, don't you see? Having ears, don't you hear? Come on, guys, can't you remember what you saw? Don't you remember what you heard? So next time you're in a situation, if you miss it, you got to think upon the last time that you got it. There's power. This is powerful. And actually it will strengthen you like crazy. I've been in situations where I've prayed for people and been in a situation where I've prayed for 4 people in a row, right? On the same day and not seen any breakthrough. And what will happen is that will try to reach in and discourage you. Or you can think about the one before that did happen. And what God's brought me to a place of, I never allow the last person to continue on to the next person. The person that's in front of you is brand new. They have no idea of what happened last time. So if it doesn't add to me, what I do is I don't bring that into my thought process because it's not going to add or build me up or encourage me in the next person that I pray for. But Jesus was correcting the disciples because the miracle happened through their hands. Don't you remember what you saw? Look, having eyes don't see, having ears don't hear. So eyes, ears, remember. 3 different keys that you can use in when you step into your next encounter. Go ahead.
Just because you don't see something happen doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you pray for someone, you're saying you're the uncle.
Absolutely.
Because you lifted up.
That's it. And that's the focus of this whole thing. Is you're here to become love. You're here to love people. It's not just about the miracles and the prophecy. I'm just giving you tools that are inside that you're going to be able to reach back into and say, oh, yes. And it's going to be in your arsenal. Okay. I'm giving you tools to equip you. I'm putting tools in your tool belt so that you have stuff that you can reach into. Okay. You with me?
Yeah.
All right. You can't fail if you're walking in love because love never fails. All right. So you never really miss it, but the way that seems right to a man thinks that we missed it because I'm pretty much speaking to, perfectionism because it's the way of the world. You've got to be perfect. You got to do things. You got to look out for number one. We've been cultivated by the enemy of God. So we need to crush that stuff. Amen. All right. You guys okay? Is this too much or are you all right?
Did you explain leaven?
No, I didn't even go into it.
Okay.
Do you not understand it?
Well, I was told that it seems like doubt, fear, and scary.
I don't want to, you know, it'll be too much. It'll be too much because you can, yeah. The leaven of Herod is a political spirit. The leaven of the Pharisees is a religious spirit. So be careful of that leaven. So he's saying beware of the leaven of a political spirit that wants you, political spirit is making other people look bad to make you look good. So a religious spirit is actually sometimes making you look bad, making you look good to make other people look bad, but quoting it and knowing it without a power there within. In other words, he talked to the Pharisees, and actually a religious spirit could also be a spirit of just, I hate to say a spirit of this and a spirit of that, because then we categorize this and make this a, the leaven is like the thing that fuels hypocrisy, like in a pharisaical leaven. Where you're outside, like when you look at the Pharisees, you look at how Jesus addressed them. He said, you strain a gnat to swallow a camel. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, outside you're all beautiful and clean, but inside you're full of nastiness. You're like tombs that you walk over. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus spoke it out and said what it was. Jesus called Herod a fox. I don't want to spend time on that one. I need to get to this because I have a short time with you. Are you guys okay? Why don't you do the bathroom break and give me 15 minutes. We'll come back. Sorry. I just looked up, and before I hit this thing, let's just do that. So come back here at 12:15.